This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hello again. Welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. We're on week 5 of Katie Thurston's season, and joining me, as always, is our own Katie. Katie Waite. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you? Back from vacation?
Back from vacay, back in the office. Glad that I got to watch Hunter and his snorts live on ABC as opposed to having to wait till the day after on Hulu. It's exciting stuff.
Gross.
You know, it's interesting that the body wasn't even cold on Thomas before Hunter was right away like, we've got the next villain ready to roll. Usually there's at least a little break before we figure out who, you know, we want to hate next.
I assumed it would have been Blake. So far, he's come out unscathed. So
and I we'll think see. He has Hunter to thank for that.
Yes.
You know,
Blake was definitely an easy target for this week.
He really was. And they decide that he's going to move into the house. And it's weird how they set this up because you had Caitlin and Katie talking about it, even though she had already made the decision to let him back. And Caitlin's like, oh, yeah, the guys hated Nick, especially the guys I had really good relationships with. And so she's got to be thinking, oh, God, okay, awesome. And
I think she wanted to talk to Caitlin more for to figure out how it was going to go over, not to actually make a decision. And then Caitlin was like, oh, it was terrible. And I probably shouldn't have done it, but I did. And Katie was just like, oh, okay, thanks.
Very helpful. This is great. Chris Harrison could have done that.
Yeah, as always, thank you for the input.
And Tayshia talks to the guys, but she doesn't really say much. Can't imagine it would have been that big of a deal if she would have just said, hey, this is Blake, who was on my season, as opposed to it's someone I know, and Katie has decided that she wants to explore the relationship. Although I do like that she pointed out, just like she's decided with each of you, to try to blunt it a little bit of their anger or animosity, because, like, guess what? She's also chosen to keep each of you here.
She definitely brought out the drama for it and made it as dramatic as possible. Definitely rose the tension in the room. I could even feel it, really. They hated it. I wondered what it would be like if Tayshia and Katie kind of broke the news to the girls, because they weren't expecting Tayshia to walk in, obviously. I don't know if it was Katie's quote unquote easy way out to have Tayshia drop the bomb on them and she didn't have to do it. But when she came in, skipping ahead a little bit, Blake gets the date card. When she comes in to get him for the date, she kind of wants to start a conversation and put herself basically right in the ring of fire of having Blake join.
The question was fair, was, you know, how much did you guys know each other beforehand? And she mentioned the DM about him just sort of, you know, giving her the, you know, rah-rah, good job. I think my follow-up question would have been the same question I asked last week, which was, why didn't he ask you out then when there weren't cameras following you around?
Right. Why wait for this moment, this week?
Right. And he plays down the fact, like, I get it, you know, it's technically my third bachelorette. It's like, it's not technically anything. It is your third bachelorette.
It is your third bachelorette.
Yeah. And you had an opening to ask her out when she wasn't the bachelorette and you weren't going to be on TV for it. So I was a little surprised that that wasn't sort of a follow. And I understand they're not there. You don't want
to
be that.
They weren't able to ask that question.
Well, you also don't want to be that person who now Katie's looking at you as you're just here for the wrong reason. So you're the next right one that I have to send. So, you know, I think Courtney phrased it as nicely as you could about just trying to get a little background about, you know, how much they knew each other beforehand. I was a little surprised that she didn't give them a little warning as, hey, guess what, guys? I saw firsthand how people treat people wrong in this house and in this situation where others think that they don't belong. Well, guess what? I'm not going to stand for any of that. So listen, welcome him, treat him with respect. Not saying everyone needs to be friends, but none of the mean girl stuff. And we don't know if we totally get to there yet because, again, Hunter sort of swoops in and takes all the fire. But I would have liked her to, not that they should need it, but as we've seen season and season
well, in and out. Well, that's kind of what set her apart from everyone else in her season was, you know, being an advocate for that. And she could have gone that route, but she, and yeah. maybe she will in upcoming episodes, but she definitely didn't in this part, this episode.
Right. And it was Blake, like you said, that got that one-on-one date, which if he didn't already have a target on his back, you know, that's a nice way to increase it, is to just say, hey, he's here for three seconds and he gets a one-on-one.
Yeah, they made a bad moment the worst moment for him possible. But it's funny, like, I thought I would be more annoyed with Blake, but I'm actually not, and I'm okay with him so far. I mean, it's only been an episode and a half. He's not being annoying. I'm actually okay with him.
Yeah.
I was surprised at myself for.
Yeah, I am too. And you can sort of hear the disappointment in my voice because I was not on Team Blake coming into this. And, you know, there's under no circumstance that I see it necessary for him to be on this show. But unfortunately, as per usual, you're right. You know, I thought he did a really good job on this date. I thought he did a really good job in his intro with the guys of just trying to diffuse things as much as he could.
Yeah.
With recognizing all the issues people could have with him and not trying to poo-poo them per se, just putting it out there and saying, I understand where you're coming from. But on this date, I thought he was kind of a charming dude. And
yeah, the episode, the one-on-one date, I was like, all right, I don't know if I want to say I'm fully brooding for them, but I actually like him, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I feel confident saying I'm not rooting for him, but I really wanted to hate him on this show so badly, as I was pretty clear about last week. And I found myself not. And
well, you know, I feel like if it were another contestant from, like, say it was Bennett or something. I think you immediately would just go how we were feeling with Blake in the beginning and be like, no, you're being annoying. You shouldn't be here. You're here for the cameras. But I don't feel like that with Blake anymore. And I don't know why.
Yeah. I thought his being scared of horses and his very timidness on the horse, which is very relatable. If anybody remembers their first time on a horse, if you've ever, if you have ridden a horse, it's a lot like what Blake experienced. It's, you know, how do you make it go forward? How do you, did I go a little faster? And you always have the experienced person saying, like, nah, let's not do that. And then
just sit there.
Yeah, just trust me, the horse is way more experienced than you. Just let them do all the work.
Yeah.
And then at dinner, I thought he was really, you know, he obviously asking the question about sex positivity and her telling him the story that she told on the group date. You know, not that I would expect anyone on this show, even the less sensitive people or whatever word you want to use, to respond negatively, but I thought he responded really well, and he made it very clear that under no circumstance would he ever be that guy. And I don't think she would have anyone on this show that was that guy, but it's still, to say the words out loud, I think, is important for anybody.
Yeah. I feel like he had probably the absolute most perfect response to her sharing that story on a one-on-one. It was, he just said it perfectly, and she definitely felt that too. So yeah, that was a really good moment for both of them, I think.
Yeah, and I, like I said, wanted to hate him. Was so anti Blake, and I'm fairly confident. Like, nah, I'm not about to be like, go get him, Blake. But yeah, I thought he did a really good job.
Yes. Katie, maybe he's going to start surprising us more.
Maybe Katie clearly was a fan because obviously they were making out earlier, making out later. He gets the rose, and we get another musical performance from American Idol winner Lane Hardy.
The best.
Some good ABC synergy there.
Yeah, the best.
And if you we point it out every time, but if you think that these performances don't have an impact, Lane Hardy, who for all his, you know, he was on a very big show in American Idol and hasn't really had much of an impact since then in the mainstream, his single immediately went to like top 25 on iTunes. So
crazy.
Bully for you, Lane.
Finally, top 25 right there. Just took the Bachelorette for it.
And you had Katie wrapping up the, you know, after the performance or the in the moment during the performance, I guess, saying, you know, I can see myself walking away from this with Blake. And just like I would say, if I were reading that line, she said the same thing. She's like, yep, there, I said it, because not words I expected when, mm-hmm. you know, we saw at the beginning of the season when they teased that Blake was going to be coming in this season. I was not at any point thinking that those words would be coming out of Katie's mouth.
Yeah, me neither.
It was a little bonkers, but
especially really on your first date.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just arrived, so.
And, you know, so he gets the rose, goes back, and, you know, again, you're thinking, okay, he gets this date right away. He gets the rose right away when guys weren't so sure he would. And instead of it being, okay, we all hate Blake, which I'm sure we'll get to eventually, it's Hunter, 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 because the group date is every other guy. And it's just a mad
bloodbath.
Thank you. Perfect word. And leading the charge is Hunter and his snores. And it was just, I don't know how many times we've been through a date like this where there's physicality and then we're surprised when someone gets hurt.
Yeah.
And the star acts, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. On either side, guys and girls.
We need to stop this right now.
Yes. And, you know, bring in the medics. And the one really good point I think that came out of that whole issue with this rugby / basketball fiasco is she said, listen, if you get hurt, you leave the bubble, you leave the show. So also something she probably knew beforehand and could have prevented needing to stop it, because we've seen this so many times before. But it's, you know, Michael was this close to no longer being on the show.
Yeah. And I think when she saw that, she's like, all right, let's call it. Let's just get on to the normal part of the date. And let's just invite everyone, because we're all winners. There's
not everyone gets a trophy.
Yeah.
Well, I know. She should have just went with the team that was leading at the time. And the guys, not surprisingly, blame Hunter for all of the, I don't know what you want to call it, violence, but all the hard hits, even though it was not Hunter that almost paralyzed Michael.
Yes.
It was Justin. And
Justin felt so bad too. He was like, oh my God, that was me. And like ran right over and was like, I'm sorry, man. Like, I didn't mean to do that. I felt really bad because he did not, he obviously didn't mean to do it. If it was Hunter, then maybe he would have, but they definitely blamed Hunter for setting the tone of the hard hit.
Which I get, but Hunter owned it. You know, he was laying guys out and he was not shy of saying like, that was awesome and this is the best. If you're Justin, I think he did feel sorry. And I did think that it was legitimate, but he still, you know, laid the guy out with a huge hit right in the center of the back, blindsided. Like,
yeah,
I don't blame Hunter so much.
I can see why they blamed Hunter, though. I feel like if Hunter didn't come out and just start wailing on everyone and start hard tackling them, I feel like it would have been a more low-key game, if you will, because the other people on the date are just seem like pretty good guys. Other than Hunter, I feel like they wouldn't take it so seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, they take it seriously because they obviously would want to win to have the time with Katie, but I feel like they wouldn't have been so violent. So I understand how they're going after Hunter for that.
Yeah. And watching that hit, you know, when they did basically like the slow motion replay, I'm really surprised that Michael was able to get up from that, because mm-hmm. how he didn't break something or dislocate something.
Just continue to the like the cocktail party and like nothing ever. He didn't even look bruised up. Like, pretty good.
Yeah. And, you know, the first thing she did at the cocktail party, where, again, everyone was invited because, you know, everyone gets a trophy, was she had some ice waiting for him, which was a nice touch. And then, you know, when he asked to kiss her, she's like, "You can kiss me all you want." And he's like, "Well, you got to come here, though, because I can't move." I'm like, well, let's not play it up that much, buddy.
Yeah, you really can't move. You walked all the way here.
I think you're fine.
I think you're okay.
But I think he's fine. And, you know, the other one-on-one time that was interesting was, you knew Connor at some point was going to play into his Jedness and play his Dearest Katie a song.
He's turning more into Jed every episode.
So what do you think the odds are, because she was so moved that he wrote a song for her and no one's done that for her before? What are the odds do you think that he had that song written before he ever arrived in New Mexico?
Oh, 100%. He definitely did. All he needed, he just needed the bachelorette name and he just plugged it in and he was all set.
You don't think he wrote that right on the spot for her?
I do not think he improvised that song.
And
Indian button shirt, but
this was sort of the beginning, or the continuation, I should say, of Hunter being the new favorite villain of the guys, because while everybody else is sort of getting introspective about everything and this is about time with Katie and this and that, he's like, "I effing loved it. This is great. I don't know. I know people got hurt, but whatever, dude. This is great."
Why did he snort so much?
I wish I had an answer for you. And if he even realizes he's doing it, he certainly doesn't mind. And I love the fact that they left it in, because as we both know, it is super simple to edit something like that out.
Yeah.
And so for the show to intentionally leave it in every time is it's such a classic Bachelor, Bachelorette move. And
for the villain.
Right. And maybe Hunter doesn't watch the show, so he's maybe not as conscious of that, because obviously Aaron, you know, knew who Blake was right away. So he clearly watches the show. He's like, "Oh, that's Blake. Okay." Yeah. And I can tell you, Blake first was dating this bad. And then, so he clearly watches the show and is a little more careful, because he's sort of more of a politician. So he's way more careful about what he says, where he's saying it to. He definitely is more like, "Okay, I know how everything works." Hunter is more just like, "Whatever, bro, I'm here to win."
Yeah, and competition.
Not necessarily worried about his aesthetics. But this was sort of just a slow burn to everybody except Katie hating Hunter, apparently.
Yeah.
Because somehow, and I don't know how, somehow Hunter walks away with this group date rose. And
I mean, I think it came, they did have a sit down and he played the kid's card, saying that he doesn't introduce his kids to anyone he dates. He's never done that. But here I have some pictures for you to see my kids. And I think that's what made the connection on you get the date rose.
Michael just told you that it was his dead wife's birthday yesterday.
And he couldn't be with his family.
And he could, for the first time, he couldn't be with his family. And you're giving it to a dude for breaking out some Polaroids?
I'm not for Hunter. I'm just stating the fact.
I mean, you even had the original favorite, Greg, who, you know,
oh my God, Greg,
you know, went from being resting sad face with her to when Michael's telling the story about his wife, and I didn't realize, I don't think, that all the guys didn't know this about him already. And you have Greg, who I know it's out there that he took acting classes, and so I don't know if this is
a character.
Yeah, it could be him working the scene, or, you know, let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he was genuinely moved, because, you know, you should be. It was, you know, hearing a story like that is, you know, will definitely tug at your heartstrings.
Right.
But Greg was, you would think Greg was the one telling the story, because he was just gone.
He was just shocked with the whole story and was saying, oh, but you're so positive about everything. Like, I can't believe that you had to go through that. And it was actually, it was a very touching moment.
Yes.
For to see everyone's reaction to that. But yeah, he took it to a whole nother level.
The only thing that would have made that scene hit a certain way was Hunter just being like, well, at least we all got to hit each other, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, right. But sorry about your wife, bro. But that was pretty great, right? Got to hit people. That's cool.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I'm surprised it didn't go that way.
Hunter finds his way to get the rose. And, you know, obviously it's easier for us to say because we see the in the moments where, you know, everything's falling into place and it just he just seems skeevier every time he says anything, snort or not snort, because he's it just seems more of a game to him than anybody else. And you want to say bully for him for playing the game and so far in Katie's eyes playing it well, okay. But as a viewer, we get to see all that and then just makes my skin crawl every time he wants to get close to her.
Yeah.
So
skeevy.
Perfect word. Thank you. And I don't know if there's anything else from the group date that was worthy of discussing.
No, not really. I mean, Greg is starting to do the famous downward spiral of her seeing of the guy seeing her with other guys and starting to realize that they're actually on a show and that they're not dating this person really one-on-one.
Always a shock every year. It boggles my mind how, oh my God, it's just, I can't, it's just so different seeing them with someone else.
Yeah. He's starting to do the famous downward spiral around week 5, 6, you know, pretty soon they're all just going to be emotional messes. Say, oh, wait, I'm not the only one you're dating.
This is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Well, someone who is like the anti-Hunter in my mind was Andrew S., who gets the one-on-one. And I had really awful feelings for him because we've seen this before where, okay, the person isn't showing up for the date yet. Uh-oh, there's got to be something else going on. And so I'm thinking, oh, Andrew's going home. Something happened with Andrew. She found something out about him. And that's why he hasn't gone on a date yet, because they even showed him like waiting outside when it was light out and then talking with the dudes when it's dark out.
I was like, don't hurt Andrew.
And thankfully, it was actually just part of the date. You probably could have told him that 7 hours earlier, so he didn't.
Yeah. So he wasn't anxious the whole day?
Seriously. And I thought, as far as these quarantine dates we've seen over the last few seasons, I thought this was pretty cool because you didn't have to do anything. It's not anything extra. It's just they're out in the woods and you have to lift your partner up just like you do in real life. And it's basically just not that she's going to lift him up, but either way, at least not physically.
So wrong.
And you just have each other, you know, asking each other questions. And it's just, it's a good first date, if you will, where you're just getting to know someone.
Yeah, it was like a romantic setting, icebreaker session.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was good for someone like Andrew S., who hasn't really had that one-on-one time, that he's, I don't want to say falling behind with the other, but just hasn't had that opportunity to have the one-on-one time like a lot of the other guys have had up until this week.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned because He did say Sundays are...
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Favorite day. And so I like him. But that did take him down a few pegs because Sunday is no one's favorite day. Let's just, yeah. I can't get behind that. That's just a very controversial statement. And so I'm looking forward to him issuing an apology to anyone I offended by saying Sundays are my favorite day. It was not my intent.
Can you explain why Sunday is your favorite day?
Right. And basically because of brunch, but you can have brunch on Saturdays. You don't need to have brunch on Sundays.
Yeah. You don't need those Sunday scaries.
No. So you can have brunch on Saturday, do all the same stuff, and then you get another day off on Sunday.
Exactly.
So that part was a little, you know, like I said, he was up here and then he goes down a couple pegs because Sunday should not be anyone's favorite day.
Agreed.
But otherwise, I thought they got to do all, like you said, the icebreaker questions, and then at dinner sort of tackle the more serious side of with his family and her family, and sort of it started with the question in the first part and then carried over later on.
Right. The question was, what did you learn from your parents' relationship? And they basically connected, I think, with this question because they both talked about what they learned not to do in a marriage or during a relationship, which I think is probably just equally as important as what you learned from their relationship. Andrew talked about not ever wanting to leave his partner hanging. And Katie talked about not settling for just a random person, like wants to make sure it is her soulmate. And then it carried on to dinner and he kind of opened up about when he was six, his father went to prison. And after that, he kind of found football and that's what he got into. But it was tough when he would be playing the games and see all these kids, other fathers in the stands supporting, and he didn't really have anyone. But that's like 100% who he wants to be for his kids, they didn't have the same situation, obviously, but it was similar in a way that they didn't have parents that stayed together.
Yeah. And they didn't have that typical, TV family that everybody, I don't know if you can aspire to that, 'cause as a kid, you have no choice in the matter, but just that, you know, it's the dream family where you have a happy mom and dad and everything's hunky dory and they come to your games and, you know, good job, sport. And, you know, neither of them had that, even though she obviously had a great relationship with her father for as long as she could. It wasn't that typical family unit.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked a very important, but also very heavy question of, you know, listen, I'm asking this because I do see something down the road, but, you know, we saw this with the royal family a little bit, I had an ex who was worried about what our kids would look like, and in a mixed race couple, and of people at the grocery store being like, is that your kid? And, you know, I think she had the, first of all, she was sort of surprised, not surprised by the question, but just like surprised that anyone would feel that way.
Well,
because I think, and like me, and I'm sure like you, you know, there is that white, you know, being naive as a white person, not, that's something that never has to come through our minds. Mm-hmm. And I think that, so there's the shock from her of like, I can't believe someone would think that. And, but then the response of like, I don't care what that person says. Like, I, you know, if the kid comes from us, the kid's going to be perfect, and, you know, F them basically. And that's the, you know, that's the perfect, to me, that's the perfect response.
Yeah, that's exactly, I think, what he was hoping she would say.
You know, because listen, the family's perfect if it's our family. And if anyone else has an issue with it, they can go screw. And
yeah, they're not our family, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly. And
then they're like, okay, let's go in the hot tub.
Let's have champagne in the hot tub. And, you know, shocking to no one, Andrew walks away with the rose. And he, I think, got everything out of this date that he needed to, because you were dead on, is while he wasn't, you know, we knew who he was. So A, that's a success.
Yes.
But he really didn't have that established connection with her. And so now I think out of this date, you have to think, okay, he's right up there with the other five or six people who we actually know their name and have a connection with her. Like, he has to be considered one of the favorites at this point.
Yeah. Now we know who he is.
Yeah. And so does she, more importantly.
Yeah. And definitely more importantly,
this leads to the last sort of the third act of the episode, which is the explosion of the anti-Hunter everything from everyone.
Yeah. Just you have a target on your back when you already have a rose anyway, going into a rose ceremony, but he just took it to another level. He acted like he needed to earn that rose at the ceremony, but he was like, nope, I'm just going to take this time and show her my telescope that I brought all the way from wherever. Strawberry champagne kind of had a nice picnic. And she was like, oh, this is like a one-on-one, but you have all these, I don't know how many people were left that didn't have roses, but all these people that were waiting for time. But to be fair, he just went and did it. He wasn't just sitting and talking about how, oh, I don't have any time with her. And he kind of just went, but then you have James that went and tried to interrupt and got shot down. And I kind of was upset that Katie didn't stick up for James and was like, no, actually it's time to, you know, I want to talk to James now. She kind of just stayed silent and didn't butt in. And that was kind of tough to see, I think, for him. But
yeah. And I think she wants to leave it to the guys to see how much they'll fight, if you will. And obviously not actually fight, but just the fact that he sort of lingered and then came right back and stole her, and when he was sort of apologizing, and I
therefore just turned awkward, I think.
Totally. But she
not say anything.
He still it is, but she still commended him for the fact that he came back and fought for her, because when he was trying to apologize, she said, "No, I like that. That's good that you stepped it up." And you know, listen, should Hunter or anybody that has a rose be one of the first people to go get time and not just say hello, but like plan a whole thing out? Probably not.
No.
But it's made worse by the fact that, you know, Trey is sitting there with the group and trying to do this, you know, because the producer's probably like, hey, why don't you just talk about what this night is going to be like? And if you don't get a rose, and he's getting deep about heartbreak and needing to make a connection. And you have Hunter go, oh, Lord. And not just in the moment, in front of the guys.
In front of everyone.
So I think that combined with then you're going to go in front of them all where, you know, where a bunch of the guys can see you. And right after sort of mocking another one of the guys and really all of them that were sitting there, basically anyone that didn't have a rose, I think it's a combination of the two. Like, don't be the first person to have this planned out date when you already have a rose, but also right on the heels of basically like waving off Trey and any feelings he was having, probably not the best combination.
Exactly.
Because you had James, I understand, had a fire in the belly and was sort of charged up by the other guys too, Aaron and the other person that was sitting there and poking the bear. I don't fully remember, but Aaron is always someone that wants to rip people.
Aaron's always the poker.
Yes. And so you get James all like, I'm going to do this. And ultimately all that did was get Hunter more fired up because he's like, oh, I'm going to get that time back. Okay, so you're still not helping your case any. And I always understand this isn't about making friends, but you can at least be civil with people. And I don't know that the way he's acting, because you're already doing enough to get the roses, you don't have to then go the extra mile to just like kick dirt in the face of the other people that are there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we talk about that every season, about that person that, yes, I agree, you're not here to just bro out because maybe those are the people that aren't here for the right reasons. But you can be just a human being that isn't trying to, like, you know, kick a hornet's nest.
Yeah, crazy, crazy thought, but you can be a normal person.
Yeah, and shocking, Trey, who was sitting there the whole night after getting, you know, whatever laughed at by Hunter, was this week's person who keep talking about, oh, I hope I get time. I hope I get time. Hope I get time. Guess who didn't get time?
Shocker.
Now, ultimately, it didn't matter. You know, it got down to the last rose. And I knew it was going to be Trey, or at least I was fairly confident it was going to be Trey, because the other three people, I couldn't have told you, because I had to confirm with you that it was Josh. I couldn't have told you Josh or Andrew's name sight on, like, just looking at them.
Yeah.
And I knew Courtney, but I also knew Courtney didn't have a lot of time with Katie. So I felt pretty confident that Trey was getting there. I was definitely confident when I only saw Andrew and Josh. But then when they saw Courtney, like, oh, I know Courtney.
Yeah.
That gave me a little pause because I could tell you Courtney.
Oh, when he went home, like, everyone clapped for him. Like, they must have loved him. And we saw nothing. We saw none of that.
No. So Courtney was clearly a favorite of the dudes in the house. And just reverse back to that. That is not something you need to aspire to. But you also shouldn't aspire to being the person that when you leave, like Thomas, everybody like does it like it's toxic and nobody even wants to like shake your hand or like bro hug you. You should at least have be that person who people are like, okay, respect. We'll see you in paradise, as opposed to just a don't make eye contact. Is he looking my way? Is he looking over here?
Don't talk to anyone.
Oh, sorry. I'm making the producer over there. Right. Okay. He's gone.
Exactly.
You know, you don't want to be that person either.
Exactly.
And you had, after the fact, so Courtney, Andrew M, Josh go home. Aaron's trying to make this toast, and he's like, okay, two. And then Hunter's like, yeah. We're all here.
I don't know. I would like to know if it was edited in any way, because I feel like, obviously, Aaron had a reaction, but I feel like, I don't know. I feel like Katie would have something to say about that, but no one else really had a reaction. So I'm like, when did this actually happen?
That's true. Because you know? Aaron sort of reacts to everything.
Yeah.
So I probably should have paid more attention to that, because you would figure Katie would say, hey, like, let's.
Like, let him talk, or at least snicker or something. I don't know.
He's cheersing to love. Let him cheers to love. It's very important.
Any sort of reaction to it at all.
And, you know, what we got after the fact, by the way, was not a next week on The Bachelor or next episode or whatever. It was this season on The Bachelorette. And
all the drama.
We got a little bit of everything. Obviously, we did the whole Book My Flight Home, which, you know, again, we said this before, not happening. Her flight did not get booked home. And I don't have any spoilers, but I'm just telling you, her flight didn't get booked home.
Yeah.
But we also got Katie throwing up. She gets so upset that at some point she's going to throw up from being so upset.
I mean, what's better than that? Come on.
Well, from a drama standpoint, not a lot.
That's what I meant.
you know, overall, not so great. But yes, it should make for some pretty quality television. And we also get, you want to talk about pulling all of the heartstrings, because obviously Michael gets to the point where he's missing his son. And we actually see the FaceTime of the son. Maybe daddy don't want to see me.
Yeah.
Oh.
The worst.
Oh, my God. How can you possibly stay after that? Yeah. I understand kids say a lot of dumb things, but.
Yeah, no, you can't stay after that.
Oh, just brutal. So that's going to be fun.
God.
Because I think Michael's another one who has to be considered, you know, of the people who are left, Andrew S., Greg. I mean, Michael's got to be right there.
I think so.
And maybe, you know, with how he was, maybe Blake, you have to put him up there just because, you know, anytime you have the star saying, I could see myself walking away with that person, I think you probably
You're automatically a front runner.
You have to put them in that top tier. But you would think Michael would be right there with the rest of them. You got your kids saying, daddy don't want to see me.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there any way that you could see him? I mean, that's got to be how he leaves, right?
I would think so.
Oh.
Or Katie hears the story and just sends him home and say, you need to be with your kid. I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see.
So a lot of good quality drama on the way. Was there anything else I missed?
I don't think so. I think we're finally down to the group of guys that we would not need names flash across the screen.
We're at 12.
I feel like Brendan's the only random person left.
Yeah, I think I could probably do all 12 at this point, just because it would get to the point where Brendan would be left. And I'd be like, okay, well, yeah, there's only one left, so it's got to be Brendan. So I do think now, after week 5, I think I can identify every guy.
That's always a good place to be in a season when you actually know who you're talking about.
It's okay. We're only a few weeks away from hometowns. It's fine. No problem. Listen, we'll see all the drama we get next. Another musical performance next week. I don't think I've seen it posted anywhere yet. I don't want to be that person that says who it is.
Don't be that person.
Because we are spoiler free here, but there is another musical performance next week. I believe we're going to hear from that person. So
awesome.
That's going to be fun. And it might be out there. And so you might be like screaming, it's, and that's fine. But I just better safe than sorry. But in the meantime, what other than Katie Thurston, what's going on in the world?
Actually, not much. It seems like maybe with the holiday week, everyone kind of laid low. There's not too much news out there. Claire, this is kind of a bizarre story, but she's getting her breast implants removed. She's having some health issues due to a broken one, I guess.
Oh.
Which I guess it's kind of scary. And also Crystal is having health issues. We all know Crystal had a chemical reaction from getting her hair dyed.
What?
And has scary health issues now due to that. This all came out this past week since we last talked.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of scary to end on, I guess, a good note. Bob Guinea, who is the fourth Bachelor, season 4, just welcomed his second child. But that's really, I mean, nothing. I think everyone kind of stepped back with the holiday week. Not too much.
Well, and you know what I think it is, although I had to look it up. Bob is 50. So God bless you, Bob, for having another child at 50. I think the PPP stuff really sort of put a top on everything because, A, if you were one of those people, you didn't, you know, your PR people were just being like, yeah, we're not leaking anything this week because
we don't want any more attention on us.
Yeah. So if you were one of those people, you certainly were like completely silent. You know, other than the random, like, I don't F with Bachelor Nation, whatever, Colton. But then, yeah, good job. Right. But then you had the people who didn't get the loans or maybe who didn't and weren't outed. Like, we're just, let's just all be quiet this week.
Yeah. Because I think I'm going to go silent for a little bit.
Let's just, maybe we can.
Probably smart.
We can push the tummy tee to next week. Let's just not, let's just be a little.
No one's going to buy sunglasses this week.
It's fine. Like, let's, maybe this is not the time to be saying anything while everyone's knives are out. So probably the slowest news week, non-Katie Thurston related we've had in a while, and that's okay.
Yeah, that was a good observation. That's probably definitely what happened.
But more drama next week, both on the show and I'm sure in Bachelor Nation as a whole. And we will be back at Bachelor Podcast across all socials. Katie Waite, thank you as always for all your insight.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.